Welcome to Here's What You Do,
an advice podcast from an optimist,
a pessimist,
and a nihilist
who managed to start a company together.
And even that decision took a few years.
I'm Steven. I've been called an optimist, but I prefer passionate.
Gross.
I'm Ryan. I've been called a pessimist, but I prefer pragmatic.
And I'm Shane. I've been called a nihilist, but I prefer existentially grounded. As always, we're going to answer three questions submitted by you. Today's topics are, what are they?
Today's topics are how to deal with human interaction during the quarantine, popcorn advice, and we're ending the show with poop. So.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. I will encourage all of our listeners to send in the most specific of examples you can send when it comes to these questions, because the more specific, the funnier it is and the more likely it is to get picked. That's our little PSA there.
It doesn't just mean that and you make always, a long email, though, because there's a lot of long emails, but just get specific, like really in the details.
Yes. And you can send them to hwydpod@gmail.com.
Or you could send the questions directly to us on Patreon, and we can answer them from there. And as That's always, right. If you want to remain anonymous, say so in your question, and we will give you a fake name.
And you got to buy one of those funny Guy Fawkes masks from Amazon. You know what I'm talking about? Huh? Anonymous? Yes,
this Guy Fawkes.
This Guy Fawkes. Yeah, yes. Very, very funny.
Very good.
Good stuff. Also, we got some feedback that people want the video version of this show, and so we're testing it out here. We do have a Zoom call recording, and we may or may not put this on the tube, depending on if you guys will actually go there and subscribe to that podcast on the tube.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
That's right.
So you can see Ryan on the couch. He's leaning back. I'm leaning forward, and Shane's doing some weird stretches.
It's good to stretch during quarantine back, times.
Kicking back, baby.
Sorry, just stretching, getting it all out there. Great. I'm ready to give some really good advice this week.
This comes from a person by the name of Aretha. Aretha?
Urethra.
Urethra.
This comes from Urethra Franklin.
Aretha. Sorry, wait. How do you say that name?
Aretha.
Aretha. Why does this sound weird to me right now? But it's Aretha. Aretha?
Yeah.
Hello. Aretha. My name is Aretha, and y'all are great. I have a need for your advice. I live in New York City, the Big Apple, and due to a need for a human connection outside of my family during these quarantines, I have begun to open my window and play the fife badly so that all my neighbors can hear. I have been yelled at once, but there is also a crying baby who is way more annoying and cries more often than I play. Should I stop? Continue? Lead by... What? Should I stop? Continue? Lead by my neighbor's example and yell at the baby to shut up. Thanks in advance. Alrighty. So, I guess I'll start off with my answer. I find it concerning that you're comparing yourself to a crying baby. A little bit.
Alright, so that is a very specific situation.
My answer is, first of all, as I was saying, I am concerned that you are... I'm concerned that you're comparing yourself to a crying baby. You are an adult, and... You know, I have lived in New York City, so I am extremely qualified to answer this question.
Oh, but here we go.
Here we go.
Big Apple over here. Look.
I would also like to note that Stephen added Big Apple into this question. That was not actually in the question. He said, I live in New York City, and then he went, Big Apple. She did not write that. So just want to point that out.
Aretha was thinking that, by the way. Anyway, so I would say, look, right now, everybody is stressed the F out. And I'm not going to lie. I get stressed out by the end of the day. And sometimes I hear my neighbors doing stuff and I'm like, I'm working. I got a podcast to record. I hear things going by. And so, you know, I believe
the way that's pronounced is, I'm working. I got a podcast to record.
Right. I got a pod. Okay. I got a pod. We're doing a pod here. So, no, you know, I understand, and I think it's really funny that what you're doing, but also I think that if it were me, I would stop playing the fife badly, as you say, and save it for another time. If you can maybe close your window and play it softly, that might be better. But you know, everybody's got a lot going on right now, so I know that, you know, I'm agitated more easily. I know my neighbors are, my friends are. So just, I think it would be good to show a little bit more, I don't know, kindness and suck it up. You know, and you don't have to yell at the baby either, right? Like, you're not a baby. And it's not the baby's fault. The baby was born during a pandemic. And
it's the parents' fault.
Not the parent. I mean, I guess I wouldn't say it's a fault. The parents.
You gotta put a little. Yeah. You gotta put a little whiskey on that baby's gums. You know.
Yeah. So this is. So that's. I mean. So I think you should stop, and I think you should not yell at the baby, and I think you should, you know, maybe show a little bit of restraint.
Well, if you don't like me yelling at babies and making noise, then I just plead the fife.
Oh, Ryan. Pretty bad.
I'm very curious to see what you say to this question, Ryan.
There was zero joy on Steven's face when I said that.
I'm here for the people.
The people. Bane.
The people.
Anyways, wait, did you watch The Dark Knight Rises, Steven? Do you like that film as well?
I actually have never seen that movie.
Okay, that's correct.
That's fair. Okay, well... Yeah, I've been yelled at once. I'm trying to get the logistics of this down. So this person,
it's a little strange because they say I have a need for human connection, so I've been playing the fife badly for my neighbors.
Mm-hmm. No, the way it's worded, I'm curious. It makes me feel like as if the way it's worded as now. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel like they're doing this purposefully, playing it badly, like they know how to play the fife beautifully, but they're playing badly.
I'll say this. I don't know that anyone knows how to play the fife beautifully. It's a rotten instrument.
First off, I don't know how the fife sounds. What's the fife sound like?
I would guess, and I could be wrong here, but I'm pretty sure anytime you've seen like a Revolutionary War film and they're going to the into battle and someone's going, it's like...
I'm going to watch a quick little video here of the Pirates of the Caribbean theme on the fife. Yeah, this sounds like the flute that plays in meme videos, like when someone makes fun of the 20th Century Fox jingle. There's a video of that out there that has a meme that sounds very similar to this. I could see how this would be annoying. I still don't know if she's actually playing it badly or if she's has mastered the instrument that she could play it badly. But I will say, from the sound of it, the acoustics of it aren't pleasing even when played well. So
yeah, I was going to say, like, a fife at its best is annoying. A fife at its worst is infuriating.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, enough for me to come knock on your door and be like, hey, maybe don't do that ever.
So the question here then is the person, it sounds like they want to be yelled at. Like, they're searching for human connection, and if they're playing the fife badly, then maybe they want to be yelled at?
Well, no, she's asking, should I stop?
Yes. The answer is yes, you should stop. Or play it with your windows closed, or sing out the window, or just join your... I think, you know, have you guys heard, I don't know if over in... You guys are closer to K-Town, around 8 p.m., do you hear people banging pots and drums and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Do you actually know our situation in K-Town? Because that's accurate. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, no, people do it here too at 8 p.m.
Yeah, at like Monday nights, they're going hard next door. They're like straight up breaking tables, yelling like they're having a beer pong tournament.
They're doing it.
It's crazy.
They've been doing it every night over here.
Wait, what? What are you talking about? Are you talking about...
Every night at 8 p.m., everyone like opens up their windows and blows horns and bangs on pots and pans as a shout out to all the essential workers.
Yeah, but what is it, Ryan, you're saying something about having a beer pong tournament?
Oh, wait a second. Okay, I must have missed a sentence because I was looking back at the question. I'm saying that my neighbors are extremely noisy before the pandemic. I think this question is obviously framed during the pandemic, but I also think it could be applicable to non-pandemic times of like, when is it okay to be loud in your own house and when is it not okay? Because like, obviously a baby can't control when it's crying. But, you know, if that's the case, I should be able to watch, I don't know, Jumanji and surround sound at my house as loud as I want. If that's the, you know, where's the line? Where's the line there?
I don't know that there is one during these times. Like, my upstairs neighbor clearly does some really intense calisthenics or is boning really hard all the time because I get a lot of rhythmic thumping.
They're clicking around on it, the enhancemail.com, getting several penis
really,
pumps.
They're really pumping up there. And, you know, any other time in my life, I probably would have been like, how dare these people interrupt my bliss down here? But, like, you got to cut them some slack because it's like, well, people need to move right now. And if they got to move in their apartment, that's all they can do. I think this person should get in on yelling at the baby with their other neighbors, because clearly that's something that the majority of your neighbors agree with.
Or if they're yelling at you while you're playing your fife, then you yell back, what about the baby? And then now you've opened up a dialogue. No. See, everyone always says we got to open up a dialogue, and now everyone could be joined in on the conversation. And now you got a lot of human interaction. In fact, you got kind of like a reality show.
That's true.
It's now an interesting situation. I mean, of course, you could do the decent thing and just like not play the fife and be like, baby's kind of annoying, but not much I could do. Kind of like when there's a baby on an airplane, it's just like, oh, it's the worst. It's the worst.
I don't mind babies on airplanes.
I don't mind it either.
I hate it so much.
If they're right next to you and they're like drooling on you, then yes, throw that baby off the plane.
Yes, do you remember that, Shane?
Whoa.
For Unsolved?
Did we have a bad baby?
Yeah, I was sitting next to a baby on the flight and it was crying so loud. And this was like right after one of our like all-nighter shoots that we were flying back from. Mm. And I couldn't sleep on the plane. And this baby was like crawling on my shoulder and stuff like that.
I think the problem is that Unsolved isn't flying you first class.
No, they aren't. Is worth it?
No, we're not either. But we're also not staying up to wee hours of the night to pretend to find ghosts.
Yeah, and there's nothing you could really do in that situation. You just got to kind of like take it.
That's true. I mean, the only time I get annoyed with that is when parents have babies where they just like put an iPad in front of them and they're like, look at Elsa. And the baby like goes, because you're like, well, this baby's clearly nuts and just stares at an iPad 23 hours a day. So now it's on a plane and it's losing its mind.
You know, I just realized looking at this question again, the more important question that we haven't been asking and the one that's clearly needed to be answered here.
Uh-huh.
Is it ever okay to yell at a baby?
Yeah. No, you can't yell. I mean, you could yell.
Yes, you can. I could give you one scenario.
You yelled at a baby?
You agree with me. I've never yelled at a baby, but it might be okay. I would forgive it. You bring your baby to the cinema.
Oh,
why on earth
don't you bring that baby to the cinema?
Bring a baby to the cinema. Mm.
And you know what?
Yes, it happens all the time.
It happens a lot.
I didn't know that.
Huh. I went to go see a movie a long time ago. This is how much it annoys me when a baby goes to a theater. I remember the movies it's happened in. And this, mind you, is not a good film. I went to go see a movie a long time ago in college called Battle Los Angeles. It was a movie
I saw that too.
Starring...
Have we talked Aaron about Battle Eckhart. Los Angeles?
The movie sucks.
It's so bad. Sucks.
And were you know what's the worst part about it?
Well, before we get into this, wait, no, you're going to say the same thing. You were incredibly excited to see it.
Oh, I was stoked. The trailers looked amazing.
My brother and I were like counting down the days on the calendar. We were like, this movie's going to be incredible.
And it looks great. Aaron Eckhart riding the wave of Dark Knight coming into this. It would look great. Anyways, I'm in the theater.
Incredible trailer.
And it's a quiet part of the movie. It always happens during a quiet part of the film. And all of a sudden you just hear it. And I wanted to throw my popcorn at the direction of this baby. Because I was like, are you kidding me? Who brings a baby to a 10 p.m. screening of Battle Los Angeles on a Friday? That's bonkers to me.
Gotta get a sitter.
Okay, so this is a conversation for your other podcast that you guys, I don't know if you filmed it or not, but missing the big pictures. So let's keep it there. You know, that's a reason why I'm not on that episode,
that's
on that
right.
show.
That's right.
But I get your point,
it's just human
Ryan.
Decency, though, Stephen. It's human decency.
It is human decency.
If it's like, I know there's a bunch of you probably screaming at me right now, like, oh, you don't have a kid. It's hard. You can't always go to the movies.
I agree
sometimes
with you,
it's
Ryan.
Hard to find a sitter. You know what? Sucks then. It's just that's
I
why you have a baby. I'm just saying there's probably people who are like, this guy's an asshole. I'm just saying sometimes if you can't find a sitter, then I guess you can't go to the movies that night. And that's
go see a movie where the audience agrees, like, sure, there's going to be crying babies in this. Go see, you know, an Ice Age film or one of the funny little troll
films. Yeah, go see Planes.
Planes.
Or something like that.
Well, you couldn't see Planes because I'm pretty sure those are not theatrical releases. Those are part of the Cars extended cinematic universe direct-to-video.
Now everything's going to be direct-to-video.
That's true, yeah.
Sad.
Yeah, Cars 3.
Anyways, play the fife all you want, I guess. I don't know, I mean...
What? That's not where you were going with that at all.
I mean, like, look, there's, like, it's your space... I would say maybe don't open your window and play the fife. That's like the one
nice
part that's egregious.
Yeah,
just keep it inside. You know, keep the doors closed, the windows closed. Fair trade-off, I think.
There's no reason to
open your window.
This period of history is the one period where you have a little more leniency and a little more freedom to do that kind of stuff. If you want to open your window, you can. For your neighbors, you may want to keep it shut. But... if that baby keeps yelling, get some sense of community going. Get everybody out there yelling at this baby, you know?
Yeah, wait, I just found the answer. Play the fife when the baby's crying.
Oh, so that encourages parents to make their baby quiet because they keep hearing this awful, awful fife. Okay.
Yeah. Well, the whole reason why I went off on the baby tirade was to explain that there are certain things in life you can't control, so you might as well just learn to live with it. And I would say do the best you can, and the best you can is play your fife with the window closed.
Fair enough.
Or get a new instrument. I don't understand the fife at all.
I have a friend who plays a bunch of different musical instruments and is learning a new one every week. Like, he just got a trombone, and it's like, well... You know, your neighbors don't want to hear that. Maybe this person is just sort of moving through the different, you know, it's a long checklist of instruments they want to learn, and the fife is next.
I guess. A trombone.
Who has a fife? Yeah.
It's very unique. Or they could be like a Revolutionary War, you know, like those reenactors who go to battles. And
I'm going to look up on Amazon how much a fife is right now.
Probably cheap. They're made out of a stick.
Oh, they're like $20.
Yeah.
Okay, that's why. I see.
Who plays the trombone? I can't think of any even famous jazz. I was going to say Dizzy Gillespie, but he's trumpet.
He's trumpet,
right?
Yeah. You know, there's plenty of professional trombonists out there. So,
well, I think you got your answer, Aretha. So there you are. That's what you do. Play the fife when the baby's crying. Otherwise, don't play the fife.
I plead the fife.
Okay, you don't have to do it again. Let's move on to our next question. But before we do that, a word from our sponsor. Question two. This is from our Patreon. If you'd like to submit questions over on Patreon, that's over at patreon.com/watcher. This is from Erica Berrigan. Now, look, is this covered territory for us? Maybe. But I thought we'd get it out of the way early days in this podcast just so we can put it to rest. Because Ryan and I have a lot to say here and probably more to say on our upcoming podcast, Missing the Big Pictures.
Yes.
More than I have.
Much more to say about that. So we'll briefly touch on it here. So we'll be here for about 30 minutes.
Yes. This is from Erica Berrigan. She says, I have never made popcorn from kernel in a pot. Always the pre-cooked bags. Ugh. How do I make popcorn? Mm. Well, Stephen, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, that's
so what you do is you go to the movie theater. You
if only
grab a box of that popcorn. And then you eat it. That's what you do. Look,
but Steven, we're in a pandemic.
Oh, no.
What if I don't have a movie theater and I want
popcorn? No. Then you go listen to Missing the Big Pictures, where they talk about an entire episode on popcorn, and listen to that episode.
That sounds fun. Can I bring my fife and my baby?
Whoa, this is fun. This is a bit. I like it. Are you the audience members? Are you the listeners?
the question is, are they asking like, what kind of oil to use, or are they use, like asking what kind of kernel, or like when to start?
Oh, Steven,
and, like,
Steven.
Yeah. Okay, man, there's so many answers here. There's just really, like, there is.
Wait, why am I starting? The person who asked the question must answer first.
Okay, well,
that's a rule.
Here's how I do it, and I don't like to stray too much from this. Now, Ryan and I have differing opinions on funny corn. I personally have a little more leniency for it, though.
By the way, funny corn.
Okay, yes.
We should define what funny corn is. Funny corn, to me, popcorn is a beautiful thing. It's in its most
pure
form.
It is a perfect thing.
It's a perfect thing. You can almost eat it. You can honestly eat it without butter and salt. Butter and salt is what I'll accept. Anything else besides butter and salt, to me, is a desecration of a beautiful, sacred thing. So I call that funny corn, because it's a funny thing to do to corn.
I imagine you at any sort of like popcorn shop seeing like cheese corn and just looking at the cashier and being like, well, that's a funny thing to do to corn. Discerning.
I went to Big Bear recently with my girlfriend and all of her friends.
A wonderful town with horrible food.
Yeah, horrible food. There was a popcorn shop there.
Yeah, garbage.
And all of her girlfriends looked at it and they went, oh, look at this popcorn shop. And then they looked back at me. They're like, that's funny corn though, huh? And I was like, yep, it is. And they were like, yeah, maybe we don't want that. And I was like, well, you know what? I think I like your friends, Mari, because they know what's up. And they know me as the funny corn guy.
Yeah, I like that you've trained them all to be like, wow, yummy. Well, now Ryan doesn't like this. That's funny corn, huh? Like you're teaching them.
I'm like the Sherpa for the popcorn mountain.
I don't mind funny corn mostly when it comes to savory things. When it comes to caramel corn or anything sweet, I generally despise it. But like 99 times out of 100, I'm going classic butter and salt. When I make it, I generally use olive oil. I've dabbled in coconut oil. I've lately been given a whirl to some avocado oil, which is kind of interesting.
How much popcorn are you popping?
I've scaled it back. During the quarantine, I actually do about once a week on Fridays as a fun little Friday treat. But I actually have a Whirly Pop, which I've used since I was a boy. Not this one, but my pa taught me to pop on a Whirly Pop. And so that's what I use.
You're Whirly now, son.
I also have an air popper that I don't use too much because
it gives the popcorn the consistency of like packaging peanuts.
It's a little dry.
It's like not. It's gross.
I prefer white kernel popcorn. I know Ryan is more of a fan of the yellow, which has a more of a corny flavor to it.
It's more of a classic movie theater taste.
For sure. The white kernels are a little more fluffy. They have a fuller bloom and sort of a lightness to them that I enjoy. And then when it comes to seasoning, I'll either do butter or ghee or a little bit of sea salt. Sometimes a combination of all those things.
Do you ever do different spices in there?
I've dabbled with sort of like a tahini kind of, but like I like a little paprika or some lime or some, rosemary, some Old Bay sometimes. But again, that's maybe like 1 in 10.
Mine's pretty similar to Shane's. I hate funny corn. There are some exceptions. I do like the kettle corn that's popped at like a fair. That's like good because it feels like its own art in its sense.
Some kettle corn
feels
I like
a separate thing.
The kettle corn really lives or dies by how balanced the sweet and salty is. Because if it's too high on either of those things, ugh.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you put salt in hot chocolate. It has to be the right amount. If it's too much, it's a nasty ass salty hot chocolate you got. Oh, also, I do love hurricane popcorn, which these are also things I consider not even popcorn. Hurricane popcorn is this thing from Hawaii where it has a lot of butter and then simbei mixed in, which is like little rice crackers. Those are delicious. And furikake is also on top of that bad boy. And
all this popcorn talk's got me salivating.
Oh, yeah. I cook popcorn maybe like 3 to 4 times. Oh, no. I used to cook it like 3 to 4 times a week.
Yeah, you scaled back too, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm like about once a week now, unfortunately. The thing is, I've gone through several different ways to pop it. I did have an air popper at once, and I realized that was hot garbage, so I lit it on fire.
I actually bought my air popper after you had recommended one, and then...
Yeah.
But I think I bought mine way after the fact, and then I was like, hey, I bought an air popper, and you were like, I hate those. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not good.
I only use that when I want to feel healthy and use less oil and make like a small thing. Less cleanup.
That's too. The thing. It's healthier, I guess, because there is no oil involved in the cooking process. Mm-hmm. Whereas like mm-hmm. if you have a Whirly Pop or if you have one like mine, mine's actually an automated Whirly Pop. It's not, I think it's made by Hamilton Beach, but it has like a hot plate that essentially has like a device in the bottom
you
that is on the bottom
this.
Of a Whirly yeah, Pop. Yeah. Instead of cranking it, it's automated. But it also has this really cool thing where the heat will move upward and will go through the lid. The lid has like perforations in it, and you could put butter on the perforated lid, and the steam from the popcorn rising will make the butter melt onto the popcorn that's popping, and it's amazing. So I use that. I cook with normally coconut oil. I have done canola oil if I want a more classic movie theater taste. I've wanted to try avocado oil ever since Shane said
it's
that.
It's interesting. It's
never got
it's
around
pretty,
to it.
It's pretty neutral. So
are you pre-salting your kernels popped? Like when you put them on into the Whirly Pop on top of the oil, are you putting salt on before they start
no,
popping?
No, I always do it after.
I'm purely post-pop as well.
Have you ever tried using like a cooking wine before? Does that work?
No.
A what? Yeah.
A cooking wine.
For popcorn?
As the oil. Instead of oil, you use like a red wine or something, or like a sake cooking wine.
Cooking.
I don't know. I can't really contribute much to this conversation, so I'm trying to throw out some
I'm going to look
boomerangs.
This up.
I'm curious. I have Steven. You know what this is probably. I have cooking Michu, in my
cooking what
pantry, cooking Michu. It's like Chinese
rice
wine that use.
Oh wait, no, not Michu. Yeah. Wait,
it's Michu.
I don't even know what that is. I use Shaoxing cooking wine for my Chinese needs.
Anyways, I'm curious if I use that to pop the kernels. I don't know if that would work, but you know, I might be willing to try it. I'm a big fan of like mixing up the preparation before pre-kernel, pre-pop.
Yeah, I've done in the past. I've tried to use and it works. I use the ghee instead of an oil to kind of.
Oh, that must be rich as hell.
It is a little too rich, so I don't generally do it. You don't need a lot, actually. But
no.
So
I like the coconut oil the most.
I want to bring it back to the question. And I haven't answered this because I'll just say out there, you know, I have, well, no, that's not true. I have cooked popcorn in a pot maybe once in my life in college. It's been a long time. But I think the question that this person is asking really, if you look at the heart of it, is why make popcorn in a pot as opposed to the bag version?
It's just better. It's better for you. It's a wonderful snack. Yeah. It's cheap. You buy the seeds. It's also just a fun thing to make.
Yeah, it's like it just comes down to self-respect, I think, for me. Yeah.
Whoa.
I mean, you got to ditch the bags. Also, the bag stuff is just, I think, generally terrible for you, right?
It's really bad for you. They're actually linked to cancer because of the ingredients and the preservatives they put in that bag.
And then the other question I think... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to also say that, like, to me, aside from the fact that it's also undoubtedly tastier and just a better product when you cook it yourself, it's an experience. When you're cooking popcorn on the stove, it's like a round of applause. You could feel you could hear all the kernels just popping away, and it feels like someone's clapping for you. And it's like they're like all cheering for you about to have this great event in your own living room. You're bringing the movie theater experience. The aroma is not comparable to what you would get from like a bag in the microwave. And there's a sense of pride that you take
in
making your own bag of popcorn that's delicious. Mm-hmm. And you also know that it's more nutritious at the end too, because you saw what went into it. I imagine it's a lot like, and this is now a completely different subject, but I'm thinking, do you guys have fountain pens?
No, I actually had a calligraphy set at some point, though, and it is extremely satisfying.
Because a fountain pen, you have to maintain and dip in the ink, refill it.
The calligraphy
obviously,
one,
you maybe
those
a little
ends.
Bit.
It, but it does yeah. have like sort of the like the blade end to it, so you do have to fill it up
yes.
with ink.
Does the line get wider or thinner based on the pressure you put on the page? So fountain pen's the same thing.
But the calligraphy one was more angles, but yes, I mean... similar
oh yeah
concept.
I see, because it's so it's not like a nib like a fountain.
Yeah, the fountain
anyways,
pens have
the point,
like an actual like 2 points that spread and then the ink between it changes
exactly yeah. which is why your handwriting could look so goddamn fancy, but also it just feels nice on the page. Like you could make the argument that a ballpoint's better and it probably like for convenience purposes is, but the feeling of pride that you would get using a fountain pen I imagine would be sublime, right? And I've always wondered if I should be a fountain pen man. I think I might have just answered my own question
I
based
think the
on
answer
my
is
popcorn
yes.
habits.
Yeah. so. I mean, there's a knack to it that you certainly have to refine, but you're definitely a fountain pen man.
I might be.
I'm imagining now you being out with Mari and all her friends and them stopping by a pen store. No fountain yeah. pens, though, huh?
Oh, you like those funny pens? That's cool.
Funny.
Yeah,
pens.
I remember elementary school.
All pens wow. that aren't fountain pens, funny pens.
Yeah. Oh, you like those funny pens? Huh?
So yes, give it a whirl. It's honestly, it's a popcorn poppers are incredibly cheap. Like a Whirly Pop is like $20 or $30.
My fancy one that I just described from Hamilton Beach, $50 at Costco.
Just
and
try and find one that seems kind of sturdy. Mm. Like you want to get a good metal or something.
Stirs you. That's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Was that an intentional pun?
No, I said sturdy. I said one that's sturdy.
Oh, I thought you said one that stirs you.
Find
like,
one that
good.
Stirs you.
That's good.
No, that's not what I
yeah, mean. My popcorn maker, by the way, has lasted 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, the one I have, I might have one at home in Illinois that... I mean, we've had since I was a boy.
I mean, that's probably comparable. I don't know how. What's the longevity normally for like a microwave?
I don't know. Let's move on to the third question.
Let's move yeah. on. Oh, sorry, yeah. I checked out for a second there because I got a Slack from a fellow team member that I was like, I should respond to this right now. So I didn't
that's
hear
fine.
Anything you guys said for the last 2 minutes.
That's okay.
That's fair. That's fair.
Checked out with the popcorn conversation. You know, I have to close it out. Sorry, that I do want to add my 2 cents. I have never seen Ryan describe food so well, other than talking about popcorn, about the process, about the flavor, about the things that go into it. So it shows that it's in you, Ryan. I just don't know. I don't know why you don't put in that same love and care into all the other things you eat.
Well, it's because that they don't deserve that attention from me.
He's right.
That's just the simple truth. Let's move on to this last question. This is anonymous. This comes from the Here's What You Do pod, hwydpod@gmail.com. It's an anonymous submission. And they write, actually, we need a name for this anonymous person, so let's just call them Beetlejuice. Have we said Beetlejuice before?
We have not said Beetlejuice.
Good. Hey, Watcher Boys, you asked for stupid questions. So here's the stupidest one I have that I actually would like advice on. I'd like to remain anonymous, so if you select this question, please have Shane make up a name for me. Sorry, I did it for him. Here's the issue. My roommate and I each have our own bathroom. Mine's an ensuite in my bedroom, and hers is across the hall from her bedroom and right outside my room, as luck would have it. She doesn't use the fan or shut the door after she does her business. She just uses poo-pourri, which in my opinion makes it worse because it lingers longer and spreads farther, so the whole apartment smells like bergamot. Bergamot, lavender, and shit. So how should I ask her to at least shut the door? Love you guys, love Watcher, and the podcast is a goddamn delight. Thank you for everything you're doing to help keep us all sane, and best of luck. Thanks so much. Beetlejuice.
Huh?
All right. No, he's not here.
Okay.
Weird. Okay, Beetlejuice. This one is pretty simple to me. This is, you know, this kind of harkens back to my days back in gym class after basketball practice or even basketball practice, rather. We would go out, we would play, we'd practice, we'd get all sweaty and gross. We'd come back into the locker room, And there was one person on our team who was one of those guys that just says this dumb thing. We're like, oh, you know, I actually don't need deodorant. In fact, our own Stephen Lim has said this to me. And my response anytime anybody has ever told me, I don't really smell, I don't need deodorant, my first thought is, yeah, you do, because I could smell you right now. And you know, and that's just a lack of a self-awareness. And you know, it could get to the best of us, even young Stephen Lim here. So in this case, what I did is I took an L for the entire team and I said, hey man, we'd all appreciate it if you just wore some deodorant. We're all smelly boys here. You know, you're stinking up the locker room a little bit. So maybe just put on that deodorant and we'll all be square. And he did take offense to it. I will say that. But in time, he understood that what I was saying was, in fact, the correct call. So I would say that while it is an awkward conversation that you're going to have with this smelly roommate of yours, it is for the best, not only for you in this current moment, but also for her future cohabitation endeavors in her life. You know, I forget who said it. I don't know if it was Brené Brown or something, or was it Oprah? Somebody said that basically to get what you want in life or to, I guess to get what you want, all it takes is 5 seconds of being uncomfortable to say something that may make people uncomfortable, and then it gets much easier after that. So you're going to be uncomfortable bringing it up, but in the end, it's going to be okay. All you have to say is, hey, I'd really appreciate it if you just close the door. you know, or use the fan because as much as I love you, I don't love the smells that come from your butthole. So maybe if you could just close the door, that would be great. That's it.
I'm going to interject here and talk about the deodorant bit real quick. I did a quick search on Wikipedia. This is fact, by the way, because it comes from the Pedia. Yes. East Asians, Chinese, Koreans, and Japanese, have fewer apocrine sweat glands compared to people of other descent. I don't think I said that right. Apocrine? I don't know. But we have fewer sweat glands, making East Asians less prone to body odor. The reduction in body odor and sweating may be due to the adaptation to colder climates by their ancient Northeast Asian ancestors. Boom!
Now, I will interject here quite just really quickly. You'll notice that it says fewer and not none. They don't have like you, so you still smell. You just don't smell as bad. And I will
I'd like to say for the record that I've never seen Stephen Lim sweat. And frankly,
that's also because he may
be a host. I've been in close quarters with him, and he does not smell. He's not a smelly guy.
Gotcha, Ryan.
That's also because he's layered under 8 jackets at all times.
Well, that's true. That's a valid point.
I mean,
and also,
he doesn't smell.
I went to a school that was 90% Asian, so the locker room was full of Asian people. So
yeah but you know, some of them do have.
What are you trying to say?
Yeah,
I'm saying that the argument that Asian people aren't smelly is flawed because
no, that's
people
not. Smelly.
You knew
that's
a lot of
saying.
Smelly folks in your day.
As an Asian person myself, I could also say that I do smell after running a mile, say. But Stephen brought up the weird point that he was like, people of East Asian descent have fewer sweat glands, so that means that they are less likely to have body odor. Not
genetically,
they will not have body odor.
Set.
And I will say that people who often say they don't smell usually smell because they lack self-awareness.
You ever been around me and thought, wow, Steven smells bad today?
Yeah.
Have you, Ryan?
Tell me once.
I'm on Steven's side here.
Anytime we've played basketball and I've had to guard you.
During basketball. Yeah, that's called good offense.
That's good hustle. You got to get good out hustle. On that court and hustle.
Yeah.
No, I think you're misunderstanding what he's saying, Shane. He's saying it's good. He's saying it's good offense to smell, so then people won't want to guard you.
Yeah, that's probably good, right?
So yeah, then you're admitting you smell.
Because then also you're trying to guard him, but you're getting distracted by his stank.
But well,
by the way, I don't think you've ever thought that. Otherwise, you would have followed your own advice here and been like, "Oh, Steven, you should wear some deodorant." You never did that.
Well,
to me.
I figured you were wearing deodorant, and I figured that your smell was so bad that it was overpowering the deodorant.
No, you never.
In which case,
no, you didn't think that.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, man. The thing is, like, here's the thing. I consider Stephen Lim, I look at him and I think, man, that's a very hygienic dude. Like, that dude probably takes 2 showers a day, at least.
I do. Yeah.
He does.
It's
a huge waste of water.
And so the idea that Stephen Lim, a very hygienic man, would not wear deodorant never crossed my mind. What did cross my mind was, this guy wears deodorant and it's not strong enough. Therefore, he must need that, like, sweat defense. You know, for a while, Old Spice ran that campaign with sweat defense where Terry Crews, like, lived under people's armpits and was, like, punching odor in the face. I was like, Stephen Lim needs some Terry Crews under his armpits.
You've never thought that. Also, you smell too when we play basketball, so I don't understand why you're being biased.
That's fair.
Everybody
That's why I say I need deodorant.
Well, look. Well, understand, this is not
case
about
in point. You
BO.
Need deodorant.
Well, look, this is, we're moving away from the point here, which is, sure, maybe some people smell when they sweat. Everybody takes extremely smelly shits. No one's shit smells great. No one's like,
and I will argue that
the Wikipedia right now for East Asian poops right now. Hold up.
And I will argue that everybody needs deodorant. In fact, Stephen proved my point by saying that you also smell. And he was also saying that his smell would be a defense. So you're admitting you've won the battle but lost the war, essentially there.
I'd like to take over the floor here. So if you wouldn't mind sitting down.
Well, one more thing before you. Now, the reason why this is a good example, Beetlejuice, is because what just happened right now on this very pod is me confronting Stephen Lim for not wearing deodorant. And this is the reaction you're going to get. This is the reaction you're going to get from your roommate. Your roommate will go, I looked up on Wikipedia and it said that my poop doesn't smell because I eat 3 peanut butter and jellies a day. And that actually is a really good cancel outer.
At the same time, if you approach your roommate like an a-hole, they're probably not going to be very receptive to what you have to say.
Now, I won't say, I would actually like to say that I don't think I approached Stephen Lim as an a-hole.
I think you did.
That.
Are we talking about the poop that comes out of an a-hole? Because that's the issue, right?
Let's get back to the issue. I have stayed in many hotel rooms with Mr. Ryan Bergara. If you want to talk about chemical warfare, I've been in the trenches.
Oh, you know what, Shane?
What?
I accept that, but I also accept that you are
that's exactly what I was going to say.
Lay it down. Crush Ryan him.
Here's the thing. Life stinks. Life is full of smelly people. There was probably a time in my life where I would go into a public restroom and be appalled at the way it smelled or the sounds that were coming out of other stalls. But at a certain point, you're going to be much happier with the way you live. If you just accept that people will smell, people will make awful noises, and the most fun you can possibly have in life is to join them in that wonderful chorus and give a little hurt back to the world. Sing your song.
Oh, so you're saying fight fire with fire here. You're
exactly
saying,
right.
Bombs away with the door open.
Bombs away.
Like playing battle shits.
So along those lines, what I would recommend is some chicken liver. Because I had that once. Yeah. There's a restaurant in Los Angeles called the House of Pies. It's not a particularly good restaurant, but it is like a diner. And one night I was there, I think it was in the first year or two of working at BuzzFeed, and I saw chicken liver on the menu, fried chicken livers.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I've never had those. That sounds interesting. And I ate them, and they weren't particularly good, but not bad. And then the next day, we were at BuzzFeed, and I excused myself to the bathroom. It was in the old DeLong Prey office. You guys remember those little stalls, the personalized ones? And those were like little telephone booths, essentially. You were locked off from the world. There was no space at the bottom of the door. Yeah. Whatever you emitted in that room, you were stuck with. Mm-hmm. And I've never, ever, ever smelled something like that in my life. And I've smelled some horrible things. Eat as many chicken livers as you can. Make plans to leave immediately after.
Just
give them hell. That's all I can say.
So are you saying poop in their bathroom? Or are you saying poop in your bathroom? Because she says she lives in an in-suite bathroom, which means it's in her bedroom. So by doing this, she would essentially be fumigating herself.
Well, yeah, but it's your own, and you're comfortable with that. I don't know about you guys, but I'm comfortable with the things that I produce. I'm almost proud of them.
You just said that the chicken liver poop you smelled was one of the worst things you've ever smelled. You sat there and basked in it then?
I mean, me personally, I was like, this is impressive. But I know if someone else smelled disgusting. It, they would be like, holy shit, Shane's dead. I think Shane died in that bathroom 3.5 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's crazy. I see what you're saying, though.
If you want to do damage control without this whole chicken liver stuff, buy some candles. Candles are great. Buy some matches, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, you don't get down. It's tough enough to take a smelly shit in the first place. You feel bad about it. Nobody feels great about that. Whatever.
You could close the door, though, I think. I think that's more than...
Well, let me get into the mind of the roommate.
Okay.
You leave the door open to let the smells out.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
Into the house. Into the common area.
But then it's dispersed. The molecules have dispersed across the entire apartment instead of condensed into bathroom.
You've made a very personal thing, a very communal thing. That's like, to me, you're the only person who's benefiting from that is you, because now your bathroom is not smelly. To me, that's honestly the same thing as like, I'm eating a bunch of like, you know, I'm making a big mess in my bedroom. Mm-hmm. But to make it not as messy, I'm just going to take all my mess and put it out in the living room now, because now my room is clean. Just like now my bathroom is no longer smelly.
Trade bathrooms, trade rooms.
Could trade rooms. That could work. That's actually pretty good advice.
Oh, that's actually
I think that's
perfect.
Horrible advice.
No, what you do is like, oh, this pandemic's really getting me down. I could use a change of pace. Hey, what if we changed rooms? It would feel like we, you know, are mixing it up. It's like we're almost going on vacation within our own apartment. Mm. You take my room, which wouldn't be bad, but you got, look, you could get this ensuite bathroom. What an upgrade for you.
What you're forgetting, though, is that usually when someone has the ensuite bathroom, that usually means that they're paying more in rent for that room.
Well...
that's usually how it works. And also, there's a reason why they have that room. And to say that you should pick up all your stuff, pack it all up, and move into a different room, as opposed to being like, hey, maybe close the door after you use number two.
So chicken liver, then.
Is insane.
Chicken liver is the answer.
Yeah, I think the answer is just say, can you please close the door? People are going to get weird when you accuse them of being smelly. But if everyone just realizes people are smelly, there's nothing to get weird about.
I'm going to throw in my quick advice since I haven't really gone yet. This is Steven speaking, by the way. You know, when you're on a conference call and you're like, hey, this is Steven speaking now. I would tend to just agree with Ryan. The one thing I would say, though, is don't bring it up as a revenge tool at any point. Or don't bring it up as like when your roommate asks you to do something, you're like, oh, can you close your bathroom door? Because I've seen that fight escalate. And it's because both parties are letting tension escalate more and more and more, and you're just thinking of ways that you need to tell your roommate to get better. And so I would just say, like, find a time to joke about it and do it in like a joking way. Like, if they're like talking about, ha ha ha, man, I had a lot of really good chicken liver for dinner tonight, you can be like, oh, ha ha ha, when that comes out, make sure you close your door, and then you see how they respond to that.
Yeah, I think I'm more of the mind of just being very deliberate, not mean, but just very to the point. Like, hey, I noticed that it smells really bad when you, take a shit, and I could smell it around the house. It'd be really helpful if you just close the door. It's basic human consideration.
Oh, what about this? What about this?
You're circling around this one, huh?
What about this idea? Okay. You go out of your room and then you smell it and you go, oh man, what is that smell? Oh, that's like the passive aggressive way to do it, right?
Yeah, why would you not know what the smell is?
Well, you're just letting them know that
it smells
smell
like
it.
Somebody took a shit.
Yeah.
Like what?
just so that they know you smell it. Maybe they don't know, because you know how when you pee and you poop, you don't smell it as much as everybody else does.
That's what I'm saying about the chicken liver. You know, like I think the human body is conditioned to not be repulsed by the things it excretes in terms of sense. I mean, obviously, if I vomit, I'm not going to be like, that puke smells good. But you are clearly, I mean, it wouldn't work for humans in the long run if every time we took a dump, we were like, get me out of here.
yeah. Though I will say, and to close this out, because it is a funny thought.
Yeah, it's probably
if you said this. It's very humans deep down do want to smell each other's farts and poop. It's true.
I don't think that's true.
For sure.
That is true.
For sure.
Let me ask you this, Shane, and I'll prove it to you. This is exactly how Eddie Murphy proved it.
Okay.
He said, when someone says, I farted, you don't immediately walk away. You sit there for a second and then
you
go.
No, what I usually do is I stop breathing through
fart.
My nose.
You...
No, I don't.
You don't, so you don't confirm.
I don't
confirm. Walk away.
I usually just stop breathing through my nose and try to, you know, move into a different vicinity.
I definitely confirm.
It's weird. I mean,
I tend to confirm.
More power to you.
What if you go to House of Pies and bring back liver for your roommate so that they can experience it themselves?
Oh, because then they'd be like, holy moly. What is wrong? Yes. What if you both have chicken liver?
Together.
Okay. Wait, chicken liver party. You guys both get chicken liver, eat a bucket of chicken liver. And then you can also be like, holy moly. I'm causing, like, I got some smelly business going on over here. You do too. It must have been that chicken liver we ate. Hey, on that topic, boy, you've been really cranking out some juicy turds lately, and I can, it's really wafting into my room. Maybe you shove a cork in it for a little while, huh?
Just,
that's my favorite answer. Pretty
simple. Mm-hmm. Close the door after you poop, wear deodorant, be considerate, you know. Be
unless
a normal
your name
human.
Is Stephen Lim, then you don't need deodorant.
Unless your name is Stephen Lim, and then you just you just crop dust every room you walk in with your armpits.
Good pod. As always, if you would like to submit questions for future episodes, swing them by patreon.com/watcher, or you can submit them anonymously to hwydpod@gmail.com.
And remember to rate and subscribe to this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Rate it 5 stars if you liked it. And if you didn't like it, you know, just destroy your computer and your phone.
Yeah.
And your roommate's nostrils.
Run them over with your car.
That's right.
Take your phone, dip it in your roommate's smelly poop water, and be done with it.
Yeah. All right. Bye, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Toodaloo.